And welcome to That Horror Cast. I'm Mallory Smart.
And I'm Dmitry Samarov.
On today's episode, we'll be discussing Danny Boyle's post-apocalyptic zombie movie, 28 Days Later, starring Cillian Murphy. In the movie, it has been 28 days since Jim, a bike messenger, was knocked off his bike and injured in a car accident. When he wakes up from his coma, the world has changed. London is deserted, litter-strewn and grim, and it seems the entire world has disappeared. The truth, however, is even more horrifying. A devastating psychological virus has been unleashed on the world, turning the population into blood-crazed psychopaths driven only to kill and destroy the uninfected. A bitter struggle to get out of the city with fellow survivors to a military encampment at Manchester follows, but there, their troubles are only just beginning. Hey, how's it going?
Okay, how are you?
I'm good. I was just going through X, the platform formerly known as Twitter.
Why are you? Have you quit yet or no?
No, I'm an addict. I can't quit.
Well, you'll be forced to soon. I think it feels like.
It feels like it's kind of like closing in on me each day.
Yeah, I hear people quitting all the time now. Mm-hmm. Finally, you schmoes are so late to take some people's leads.
Yeah, I think I might be the last of the dance on this one.
You're gonna be. It's just gonna be you on there, refreshing the feed. That's just your own tweets.
And it's gonna be funny because it took me so long to get on Twitter. So much, almost like nagging and everything for people to be like,
"What made you resist?"
I didn't really know how you used it back then. I didn't understand the purpose.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What did you use it for at first?
Well, at first I just was...
Did you already have Maudlin House when you joined Twitter or no?
No.
No, not yet.
I joined Twitter...
What year were we talking about?
Oh, you know, I was going to take a guess and I was like, Twitter knows exactly what year I joined.
Of course
it does. Duh. I joined... April 20, 2009. I was going to start it with a 20, and then I was like, oh, that's how you know it's old. It's 2009.
Yeah, 2009. Hmm. Let's see. Yeah, I was on there then. Yeah, I joined Twitter earlier in, I think, early 08 or something. Late, maybe even late 07. Pretty early.
See, you showed up early to the party. You and I are on very different spectrums.
Yes, and I left early, which is actually absolutely reflective of what I do at parties.
I show up late and I leave early.
Yeah, I hardly ever show up late to anything, but I often leave early, like for movies and parties and other,
I'm definitely a fan of not being the last one at the party, apparently, except for Twitter.
Yeah. Well, so what's holding you there at this point?
So many people I follow on there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But I mean, once more of them are gone, you'll leave, right?
I'll probably just
jokes aside.
It alive. Like I won't like. You know how you say that you like to just erase everything? I probably won't deactivate it. I just will stop. Posting maybe. Kind of like how I did with our Facebook. Like, we still have it.
Oh, you have a Facebook?
Yeah.
But you just let the weeds grow and like take it over like Chernobyl or something.
Basically, you know? Yeah.
You know, that's an amazing documentary, the Babushkas of Chernobyl.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
It's about these old ladies that they were evacuated after the meltdown. But then they all moved back, and they all have cancer, and they kept living there. But, like, living this – they form their own society, and they get money from the government that's compensation and a pension. But they just live with the cancer because they say, this is our home. We're not leaving. But the rest of the whole area is just overgrown. Like, the city – I forget the name of the city that's the main city near Chernobyl –
I'm trying to
think. I mean, there's like apartment buildings. It's like co-town totally overgrown with wilderness, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's what will happen to these dead and dying. I mean, what's on MySpace, I wonder? Is there anything on there now?
You know what? I remember actually wondering about that a couple weeks ago, because I was like, you know, I never actually officially got rid of my MySpace. But
oh, really? Jesus. What? They actually so you have trouble letting go, huh?
They scrubbed it, apparently. Yeah. So, yeah.
Just so all your shit's gone, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's some kind of placeholder, like it's probably some squatter waiting to make some kind of payday, hoping somebody revives it, right? Like,
I think it's for bands now. Like, that's basically from what I'm understanding. MySpace is a thing for music now.
Well, I mean, it always was, you know, for bands. I mean, primarily, I think, music
and
lovers,
for
but
teenagers
like.
Teenagers to gossip amongst each other.
Yeah. But, like, the formatting of it was that, like, you put your music up, you know, either that you made or that you liked, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's, I guess, what I really liked about MySpace, was that you actually get to really play around with the format of it.
No, I would say it was my favorite social network that I participated in was MySpace. Yeah. And you could format, you could do, for me, it's great. You could make a whole background. You can add all this art. You can go into the code and change it all up, you know? You could customize it, which I did over and over again.
I would say thanks to MySpace, an entire generation knows basic HTML.
Well, they've all forgotten it by now. They all use Squarespace or whatever these template.
That like annoys the hell out of me when people do that, because it's gonna be like you can actually even go in there and like customize it and. I won't be bitchy at people who decide that they rather just use Squarespace. That's their call.
Well, you can be bitchy about it. Why not?
Because it seems so judgmental. I'm trying my best to not be so judgmental, because I've been in an extra judgmental mood over the last couple weeks.
Really? So, how come?
Just people in the whole literary world have been very high and mighty and acting very pretentious. And yeah. I'm just like, I'm going to just
what?
Keep my mouth shut.
Since I'm not in the literary world, I want to hear all the gossip.
Okay, well, I'll just use a specific example used for me. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Yep.
Dry throat morning.
Yep.
I had a writer complain to me mm-hmm. on Malden House about their very shitty formatted post. Now, here's exactly the words that they said to me, because mm-hmm. I did a tweet about it, and everyone's like, what, someone said this to you? And I was just like, ah, that was just me holding back. That was the nice thing. Where on Twitter, I think I wrote, as my Twitter's just like, fuck you, you're talking shit about me, I'm not going to refresh. I wrote that it was pretty wild that someone started a message saying that they understood publishing is a thankless job, and then they proceeded to tell me how terrible I was at it because their oddly formatted piece didn't end up looking perfect on a site that I run for no money. That is not exactly what they said, though. More specific words. It's so bad I can't actually bear to share this with anyone. I'm mortified and appalled. I don't think I've ever seen a publication take so little care of my work, and I was never even given a chance to look at a preview.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite part about this individual is that they emailed me that information, but then they annoyed me on DM. I saw the email, and I was crafting a response, but then when I saw that they kept DMing me, I was like, fuck, I'll answer the DM. And because I am typically a person who just acts like I don't care, and I'm very nice and everything, they immediately were like, I sent you an email. If you could just kind of delete that without reading it.
So they flew off the handle and they had regrets.
Yeah. And they seriously were like, you're so much kinder than I thought I would, like, than I thought you would be. And I was just like,
they were just ready to be outraged and angry. So is it that you used their crummy formatting and it stayed in the story or whatever it was?
Yeah, it's just difficulties where, one, they sent me a PDF copy of the thing. And I apparently requested, I wasn't the one who's behind the scenes on this one. I hate passing the buck on other people.
Oh, so you weren't the one that, that formatted it.
I'm also not the person who accepted this piece, and I'm not the person who was in charge of social media that entire month.
Oh.
So you went through several people, but I was like, I'll just pass the buck.
Yeah. Well, your name's at the top, so you got to take the hit, of course.
And also, it just sounds douchey to be like, I didn't even like your story.
That's the price of being a boss. That's what you get for being a girl boss.
If only people actually saw me as a girl boss. Maybe if I was more judgy, they would think I was.
You
a
should,
girl boss.
Yeah. So you should double down. You're saying you want to be less judgmental. I think you should be more judgmental.
All right, I will take that advice.
But not on X, because that's a soon to be extinct platform that nobody will care about.
I thought that was the platform, though, that was made for us to be judgmental on.
Well, to air your worst opinions. Yeah.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. If you feel like really like delving into your anti-Semitism, it's a good time for it on there.
Oh Lord. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
It's free. You know,
hey,
it's open season.
A tie-in for anti-Semitism in horror movies. Have you heard about Scream 7?
No. Why? Is it? Are they hunting Jews in that one?
most of the cast has been dropped.
Really?
They fired the lead character. I just know the character's name because I never liked her.
Is it character. All the people from the last one that we all went to see?
Yeah. Jenna Ortega, they didn't actually fire, but she said that she's going to step down. Sherry was going to want to leave because she has other bigger, better roles.
Yeah, she's like a star of some. What's she a star of?
She's a star of Wednesday.
Wednesday, right. She's Wednesday.
She's like Tim Burton's latest obsession, and that's always a good thing because she's going to be in the new Beetlejuice movie, and she has some other stuff going on. So she said that she was already going to barely be in this movie. The chick who plays the older sister, Billy Loomis's daughter.
Yeah, she was awful. She was the worst part of that movie.
It wasn't a good movie. She was terrible. That they like fired her, but it was one of those reasons where it's like they fired her for saying pro-Palestinian shit. Like that's weird firing thing. But
yeah.
Well, welcome to the landscape we're in right now. Yeah. So most people are boycotting Scream if they even gets made.
They're going to forget all about it by the time it comes out, and they'll go see it. I would lay odds on that.
Who'll star in it?
Who cares? It says Scream. Does anybody really care? People go because it says Scream.
The only reason, you guys got me to see, not you guys, but, the world. I know it was me who twisted your arm
You
to see
guys?
It.
Was any part of that my decision?
I twisted your arm. That I'll admit that. But the only reason I saw the sixth one is because it had the tie-in from the fifth one where we had our legacy characters. Now, with no legacy characters and all the people that we got to know in the other one, it's like, I don't want to know a whole new cast. I think this, you predicted it. There's finally going to be something that was going to break it for me.
And it's the Hamas-Gaza war is what broke it for you.
Goddamn Hamas ruins everything.
Yeah, thanks, Hamas. Yeah.
Like, from the most horrific of shit to also, wow, they ruined my favorite scary movie. Thank you, guys.
So the whole cast signed some, ceasefire, whatever, pro-Palestinian thing?
She did, and then the rest of the cast are saying that they will not be in the movie if she's not in it.
Uh-huh.
So, such is life.
Yeah. But all this apocalypse stuff kind of relates to the movie where maybe someday we're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All the stuff we've been talking about, we're professionals here at that horror cast. The tangents actually I'll tie up.
I've been pretty impressed with how the fact that we've been leading up slowly by slowly to 28 days later.
Mm-hmm. The movie we're supposedly talking about. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Don't worry. They've heard it in the intro that I'll record later that we're talking about 28 days later.
Right. Oh, man. Now you're revealing the how the sausage gets made, that your intro is recorded before.
Oh, gonna, damn.
The disillusionment will be set in, but... they can rest assured that we will not be endorsing either Hamas or the Israeli government on this podcast. At least as far as I'm concerned. I don't know. You're free to do what you like, but
Mallory is keeping her mouth shut on this subject.
No. There's not a good answer to any of this. Despite people's very strident opinions, I'm not doing it.
That's how you know it's a difficult subject where even you're just like, I'm not saying anything.
Oh, I've got an opinion, but like everybody loses in my opinion. Everybody's wrong in my opinion, you know?
I could accept that, yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah, it's no, I've definitely got an opinion, but it serves no purpose. I know enough not to voice every fucking opinion I have, you know?
And that's how we know that you're a generation above, because our generation, we don't know how to not voice it.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of restraint.
Well, yeah, because you've got these platforms that are engineered exactly for that, you know, all the different hot take places, you know, where they stick a microphone in your face everywhere you go. And then you fall for it. You go and voice some thing you hadn't even thought about. We'll come back and bite you in the ass later. You know, like they keep busting these, like, athletes that, like, dressed up, like, in blackface when they were teenagers or something, you know? Or these people that did something stupid when they were children.
Mm-hmm.
And 10 years later, they're signing, like, multi-million dollar contracts. But then this thing burbles up, you know, from the bog of the internet, you know? When they were young and stupid, and that's a big problem with these things like X, you know, because people just flippantly say what's on their mind without thinking about it, the consequences.
It like just totally made my mind jump to a stupid thing.
It's all stupid.
It is all stupid. And the only reason I know this is because my niece loves Taylor Swift. She's dating a football player now.
Yeah.
And everyone on Twitter was saying, they're joking around saying that she's a predator because based on the concussions he's had, he's probably of the mental equivalence of a 17-year-old.
Oh, boy.
And I thought that was hilarious. And people were then sharing tweets of his. And I was like, oh, she's definitely got the upper hand in this relationship, though.
Well, yeah. I mean, football players, I don't want to generalize, but...
They're like, meatheads.
They're not generally good at thinking. They're good at doing a physical thing. And, you know, and then they get their concussions and they beat up their wives and die at 50, you know?
Like...
That's what happens to a huge chunk of the, you know, percentage of them, unfortunately. It's a horrible sport.
Like, these are so, like, I just gave a squirrel a piece of bread and it straight smashed all of it. I had no idea they ate bread.
Oh, this is one of his tweets?
Yes.
Well, so he's got some jokes.
And he didn't know how to spell squirrel. Oh.
Well, you know how to fucking spell anything. But it's crazy that these platforms like that don't autocorrect, you know? You'd think they would.
By now,
but they don't. Unless these people are like manually overriding it, I don't know.
You think so? I'm just trying to figure out this one tweet of his. So much hate, dude from Kentucky needs to shave that dam. Hmm. That's
A lot of these things, yeah. You have to. It's a subtweet. You know, there's a subtext to it that you're not privy to because you're not some like NFL super fan. But, like, I'm sure whoever is a fan, and this guy's a big star in football, so he's got a lot of fans, you know?
Was he really? Like, I'm not a sports person, so I wasn't sure if he was famous before she started dating him.
Yeah, yeah, no, he's one of the biggest stars in football. Yeah, yeah, he's a big star.
Okay, I wasn't
he's
sure
not
if,
like,
a
nobody. He's not like a nobody. Yeah, he's one of the big stars in football.
Because, like, if you recall, the Kardashians had a thing where they like to kind of pluck unknowns and be like, you're my guy for the year.
I don't recall because I don't know much about the Kardashians. I just know they're the kids.
That was my after-school thing to watch in high school.
I've never seen that show. All I know, most of what I know, well, one of them, you know, plucked Kanye West, you know, for a time, but not a bad choice. But no, it's the kids of the guy that defended OJ.
Mm-hmm.
On the legal team of OJ.
Basically.
One of his old buddies. Robert Kardashian, yeah.
Actually,
that's what I know about them.
Kim Kardashian is OJ's goddaughter.
Cool.
I know. It's absolutely nothing fun to... See, I ruined our ability to pivot into 28 Days Later. I feel terrible.
No. We'll steer it back. We'll work
it back.
Yeah, we'll manually override this. This conversation back towards 28 Days Later. How did you choose this one? Why did this one come up for you at this moment in history?
I believe that I actually came up with a few other ones first.
Well, yeah, you came up with choices I couldn't endorse, unfortunately.
but I had 28 Days Later just because I hadn't seen it in forever. And upon the rewatch, I realized that I had actually never finished it. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Upon my rewatch, is like I had very little memory of it, but I saw it when it came out, which is 2002. You know.
See, I would have been 12. So. Yeah.
No, I definitely saw that in the theater. Well, it's because I think was it his follow-up to Trainspotting? It went after, or maybe it's a couple of movies after Trainspotting. It's Danny Boyle, who made a couple other movies. I saw his first movie in the theater, too, Shallow Grave. That's a good movie. Have you ever seen that?
Heard of it.
It's like a murder kind of like thriller kind of movie. It's fun. But, yeah, I mean, I know best for Trainspotting, of course.
It's weird to imagine, like... Yeah, I'm trying to imagine him in, like, making a murder kind of movie.
Well, he jumps genres all the time. I mean, then he went on to make, like, Slumdog Millionaire. He made...
Yeah, that's a bounce.
Oh, he also made the Steve Jobs movie with Michael Fassbender.
Oh, I didn't like that one.
Really? I liked that one. About him and his fucked up relationship with his daughter.
Well, I mean, I guess it's I already knew that, and they actually didn't really do a great job of actually getting it accurate.
Well,
he was shittier in real life.
Well, you know, I guess they didn't want you to absolutely hate him.
Steve Jobs himself admitted it in his own biography, where he's like, "I'll admit it. I know I'm dying."
Yeah. I mean, in my memory, he's pretty shitty in that movie to his daughter. You know.
Yeah, I'd say read the biography, but it's very, very long, and you don't have someone to impress to date or anything first.
Oh, you were reading it in your early dating life with Bolette?
Yeah.
That's sweet. No, we all do
things we wouldn't normally do sometimes when we're first dating somebody.
For love? Of course. We do all kinds of stupid shit.
I mean, hell, you said that you would watch American Horror Story.
I did. I watched all kinds of garbage. Yeah, I watched. I opted out. She watched. She really loved True Blood too.
Mm-hmm.
That was which I had to leave the room after a while. And Dexter.
Did you have to leave the room like because of the crazy sex or the weird gore, or was it just getting too silly
boredom,
for you?
Boredom. Yeah, the soap operas, like just the dialogue. No, I'm happy to watch all the sex you want in a movie. And really, I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with violence if it's contextualized. I have a big problem with violence when it's there for, like, the way Tarantino and Rob Zombie do it,
mm-hmm.
where it's basically the sex, you know? That I don't like. then I get angry about it, and when it's unnecessary and it's being like reveled at and indulged in, you know, like this bloodlust, I don't have a problem with, you know.
I'd like to take this moment to say that thanks to Scout Tafoya, I decided to rewatch Rob Zombie's version of Halloween. Never again. What the fuck?
Good old Scout. Man, Scout. So, you know, I told you.
He highly recommends Napoleon, though, too. So I'm assuming
you does?
Might be on the same wavelength.
No, we sometimes, you know, it's like stopped clocks, you know, we intersect a couple of times a day, you know, but like, man, yeah, he loves some of the shittiest movies. It's amazing. Cause now I can see that it, because I'm on Letterboxd, you know, so I can see, I can see his opinions live as he posts them.
So that's another place that you can go to be judgmental, just silently.
Not that silently. Yeah. Last night, like after, maybe during the rewatch of 28 Days Later, I compiled a worst movies of 2023 list for Letterboxd.
I don't think I'd find like watched enough to actually make a worst.
I have.
That's what you do though all the time. So yeah.
Yeah. That's my social life really is going to movies mostly.
Okay, so what's the worst?
By myself.
I need to know what the worst one is for you.
Well, it's not ranked, but no, I mean, it's got to be Oppenheimer. I mean, like...
That was a disappointment of a movie.
God, I hated that movie.
Literally bombed. Bad joke.
The what? It didn't bomb. It was a huge hit.
No, it bombed in my mind. It was terrible.
Yeah, no, but The Fighter was another... not The Fighter, The Killer. The Killer, horrible movie.
Oh, I have that on my list still.
It's on Netflix. I mean, it's on Netflix. So all these movies now, it's really interesting because the streamers are paying for them. Like some of these, the movie chains won't even show them because they're having a fight with the streamers about when it airs and stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So a bunch of movies are being parked at like the Landmark Century and not in any... of the AMCs, and I'm sorry, Landmark Century is just a ghost ship of a movie theater.
I've seen, we actually got the AMC pass for the month just because we knew that November is a month where all the movies that we love usually comes out. So we found that almost every cool Apple movie is being shown there.
Yeah, Apple, I guess they made an agreement. Well, because... Both, Killers of the Flower Moon and Napoleon are both Apple movies. So Apple's really trying to come up against whatever, Amazon and Netflix. So they're getting in the game big time.
I would say almost every movie I saw a preview for over the last couple of weeks have been for like Apple original films.
Which is new. Yeah, they hadn't done too many before. They did some shows before, but now they're really jumping into the movies.
I'm pretty psyched because I hear that after Napoleon is in theaters for a while, it'll eventually go to the actual platform and they'll release the 4-hour version of it.
Oh, 4 hours. Jesus.
Yeah, that's the one complaint that I've heard a lot of people say is that they tried to pack too much in too short of a time.
Really? I didn't think so. I thought it was long enough. The thing about it is that you can't, it's all kind of like supposition and make-believe as to like that guy's character, you know, or like what he said or did, like nobody knows what he actually said. There's not enough, you know.
I mean, when it comes to Napoleon, he was huge with actually like, he did keep a diary and write a lot of letters and everything. So you have like a vibe.
Yeah. I don't know. John was disappointed in that he said he didn't learn anything new because he'd watched a bunch of documentaries and read books. I didn't know that much about it, and I was totally into it. That movie.
Now that's an intrigue because I'm huge into Napoleon. Like not like I'm obsessed with the guy, but I'm a history nerd here. So yeah.
Yeah. Somebody told me. Oh, my doorman at Rainbow said he'd read that. There's people complaining that it wasn't historically accurate, but it's a fucking movie.
I'm here to let that. I knew it wasn't going to be historically accurate when I saw a thing of them shelling the pyramids. I was just like, yeah, that's not legit, but I'm here for it. When I saw that they're doing the whole Marie Antoinette thing, I was just like, yeah, that didn't happen either, but okay.
It was a great scene.
It looks like it'd be really great. I'm excited tomorrow to see it.
Amazing. And, like, I'm not really big on war movies, but, like, there's some incredible battle scenes in this movie. Yeah, there's some shit I hadn't seen before in movies. Good effects. Yeah. And, you know, like, I've definitely come around on old Joaquin. I like him now. I didn't used to.
I just think it was very interesting, because I forgot that he was in Gladiator also, so I was actually looking at, like, a side-by-side of him putting the crown on himself in Gladiator and the crowning himself here, and I was like, ooh, same vibes, kind of mirroring each other.
Oh, okay, yeah. I never saw Gladiator. I just didn't care. Like, the subject matter didn't interest me. So it's one of these movies kind of like up until earlier this year with Titanic, you know, that I didn't care about and I avoided. And I should have kept, you know, it turned out that I should have kept avoiding it.
Gladiator is a thing where I only like a few scenes.
Yeah.
But, like, taking it in as a whole, one, it is very long. And then it has two very different vibes that are competing against each other the entire time. Like, it seems like for some reason he's trying to bring a little bit of art house within that movie. And it's like, no, don't get artsy now.
Who made Gladiator?
Ridley Scott.
It was Ridley Scott. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, Ridley Scott's all over the place, you know, like he, quality wise and subject matter wise, you know, he's made some horrible movies, some shit ass. Did you ever see The Counselor?
Yes, I have. Oh my God. I haven't heard anyone talk about that in a while.
Well, actually, me and my ex, the one that I lovingly watched American Horror Story with, me and her were the only people in the suburban theater, and we were, like, literally throwing popcorn at the screen and yelling at it because we were the only ones there. It was so fucking bad. With Cameron Diaz rubbing her pussy on the screen of a sports car. What a horrible movie. And original screenplay played by Cormac McCarthy, by the way.
Wait, what?
Yeah. He wrote an original screenplay specifically for that movie. It's a Cormac McCarthy screenplay. That's why we were there to see it. And it's one of the worst things you'll ever see. But there are apologists for that. I bet Scout Tafoya loves the director's cut of that, cuz there's a director's cut that's like 7 hours long, and there are like these, like, film obsessives who will, like, champion shit like that. The way that Scout, you know, champions so many crummy movies, you know?
So, would we say with this movie, what do you think?
Which one? What, 28 Days Later?
Yeah, that one.
Oh, that, yeah. not the Counselor or anything else from the Ridley Scott filmography.
Hey, he's got a lot, so...
He's 85. He's like really going strong. It's amazing, you know? He's an old man.
That is the theme of the year. Really old guy still doing shit.
Yeah, yeah. what did I think of this movie? It was okay. What I kept thinking about is like, well, this isn't Dawn of the Dead. It wants to be, but it's not. You know what I mean? It wants so badly to be Dawn of the Dead, and it's just not Dawn of the Dead. Because the setting's not as interesting and resonant of actual life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the characters are more, I don't know, they're kind of generic. I like Brendan Gleeson, you know, but he gets killed off as the dad.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great actor, Brendan Gleeson. Yeah, it was fine. You know.
Yeah, I mean, I would say I don't know. I had a different image in my mind of what it was.
Yeah, what was your how? What was it in your memory before you rewatched it? How did you remember it?
I definitely had the premise of a guy waking up 28 days after a zombie apocalypse.
Right, he wakes up and there's
more stuff happening, and I didn't remember it being such a long journey to a place where they're lulled into a creepy rape situation.
Yeah. Oh, you forgot the creepy, or maybe you hadn't even watched that far, or what?
Maybe I didn't watch that far. I mean, I think I probably ended up somewhere like before they learned that the soldiers were actually there.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Do you remember why you stopped watching? You were just not interested, or you fell asleep or something?
It literally probably could have been just something that was on while I was with friends.
Hmm. Right.
Yeah. You know how that is if you're at a house and someone has something on.
We've covered this
in
material.
In your entire history, it has had to happen.
Maybe, but I won't stay in a room where that's happening.
Okay.
Because it's the same reason I won't hang out in a bar with TVs on with other people, you know, because that's all I'll do. You know, I can't have it as background. I forgot that that actress Naomi Harris, she's bigger now that she was in this.
Mm-hmm.
She's done a lot of stuff later, but she was in it 20 years ago, you know.
God, it's that old.
Yeah, 2002. Yeah. Yeah, it was one of her first movies.
Well, I think we can say that, you know, Cillian Murphy at least ages pretty well then, doesn't he?
Cillian Murphy doesn't age.
That's what I'm
saying. Kind of. Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
That's why Oppenheimer was even worse then. They made him look hideous in that.
You think so?
Hmm.
Interesting. I didn't think anything of his looks one way or the other, but although I didn't, some people said he looked like Oppenheimer. I didn't think he did.
No,
much.
I didn't get that vibe either.
Very
they just made
face.
Him an uglier Cillian Murphy.
What's the hottest Cillian Murphy? What's your Cillian Murphy in like red eye or something?
Yeah, I was gonna say either red eye or I actually really liked him in Batman Begins.
Yeah, when he's the
Scarecrow.
Yeah, but like as a sex object specifically.
Exactly. Yeah.
You liked him in the cowl in his disguise as Scarecrow.
Oh God, no!
that's what you find sexy. Okay, we're finding out new stuff.
Yeah, aren't we all?
Yeah, yeah. She was in right. She was in Moonlight. That's where she reappeared for me. That actress, which is like 15 years later, but she's in a bunch of action movies and other big kind of these product movies that are out.
I think she's in like one of those like James Bond films and stuff.
Yeah, she's in Spectre. She's in a couple. She's in Skyfall too, so she's a recurring character. Then I guess in James Bond, which I haven't seen those, but yeah, she's in a bunch of stuff.
I was drawn to this because a lot of people were saying that this was the last zombie movie where zombies were still quote-unquote zombies, even though they weren't technically zombies.
Really? I don't think these were zombies at all. Like, I remember there being a debate.
It was more like an infection or something.
And they're fast and stuff, but except for the guy they have chained up in the compound, you don't see them for very long, you know what I mean? It's not like in the classic zombie movies you see like whole fields of them. You see a lot of them. You don't see much of them at all. It's really you know what the most impressive thing in this movie is? How he got to empty out all those city scenes. Like, he must have paid so much money or to get the permits to do that, because I don't think it's CGI'd. Unless
it can't be. Or else he found like actual really tiny areas that are like abandoned.
I mean, it could have been some kind of ingenious, like digital, like taking things out. It's possible. I don't know how it was done, but like all those cityscape, like it's London and like these highways and stuff with nobody. That's probably my favorite things in this movie, you know, just this feeling. Yeah. The feeling that they really are the only people on Earth, you know, mm-hmm. or at least the only people on the English island, you know, the British Isles. Cause that's the one officer speculates, the one that they get locked up, that like the rest of the world is fine and it's just, and that the British Isles are a quarantine, like kind of like whatever prison colony kind of thing, mm-hmm. which is kind of fun. No, I mean, it's a perfectly decent movie. For one of the few times, I don't have a strong opinion about this movie, really.
I was really hoping you would, because I don't.
Yeah.
I was hoping that I would, like, have, like, when I rewatched it, I was just like, okay, this is refreshing my memory. Then I was like, maybe Dimitri will have some talking points in here.
I mean, yeah, I have a few. I have a very hard time buying Cillian Murphy and Naomi Harris as a romantic couple.
It's an odd one to take up. Go on.
I guess there's no other choices, but, like, I didn't feel any kind of romantic tension between them. That felt really forced to me.
Well, I think that tends to be the thing of, oh my God, you saved me from rapists kind of trope.
No, they had a thing way before the rapists announced themselves as rapists.
I like how they announced themselves as rapists, though.
By the way, I promise these guys women that's why they're sticking around. That's why they're following me in my little like banana republic here, you know.
And also very clearly why they allowed the father to get killed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be like, hey, one less man to protect you.
Well, the father had to be killed because he was infected.
Yeah, but I mean, I think he got infected while he was there looking for him.
Yeah. Well, they were clearly watching them. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think they're waiting for him to... Yeah. They could have prevented it, maybe. I need to rewatch it. No, I don't. I don't want to watch it again.
You don't need to rewatch it. I you don't, like with the genre movies, you don't want to start pulling apart plot points, because that's just going to lead to nothing but disappointment, you know?
Yeah.
You don't want to start questioning the logic in these movies, because it all falls apart, always. It just always does. So if it's not grabbing a hold of you, you don't want to start pulling on that thread, because it's going to ruin the whole thing, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that central romantic relationship rang kind of hollow for me. The idea of her bonding with the girl, I bought a lot more, you know.
Because I liked the Valium scene.
Yeah. Oh, and when she's just stumbling around, not caring about anything, the girl.
Oh, like when the woman, main chick, goes to the girl because she knows that they're about to be raped and is like, here, takes a lot of Valium. And I keep wondering was, like, when the soldiers were like tried to stop it, I was like, let her have the Valium.
That's some fast-acting Valium, too.
Like, yeah.
But that's
Glenn
movie magic.
Glenn was, like, watching it with me,
and
I was
just
like...
Yeah, it's movie magic. It doesn't
about 30 minutes to kick in.
Well, they didn't have 30 minutes. They had 10 seconds. So, like, that's what they were working with.
Because, like, I even was looking at my bottle of pills. I was like, it would not hit me that fast.
But also, like, the soldiers break in and they stop her from taking them. I thought they'd stopped her from taking them.
I did, too.
You know what I mean? But it turns out they didn't.
So
she got one down her throat. Yeah.
Oh my God! If that was just one, then that was a strong pill.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I could sort of buy that if it's somebody that's never taken them before. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I just like though that she had a whole like thing of Valium at the ready.
Oh, because she was she'd said she was was she a nurse or a pharmacologist? Something. She knew about these drugs, the woman.
Mm-hmm.
There was some offhand comment about, like, she knew what she was doing, kind of. at least the dosages. I also like the fact that they, you know, they're the one, the vehicle that saves them is a taxi. You know, one of those things that you don't understand.
Yes. I think I know what they are. Yes.
It's a taxi. And that's a classic. That's a British taxi. Like, you know, those are the, that's the whatever, state of the art. It's as good as it gets.
Is it your dream to move to London and drive a taxi, Dimitri?
It is not my dream to drive a taxi anywhere. It's not my dream to drive a car of any kind anymore. But back in the day, you know, we were so all so jealous of those things. They tried for a couple of years. They imported a few of them. The British, I forget the name, the brand of the car, but that's that car is specifically made to be a taxi. But they were just too expensive, and the cab companies were too cheap to use them. But it would have been great. Yeah. Last year or two, I drove a Scion, and that was pretty good. That was a good car for to be a taxi, much better than a Crown Vic, which is what I drove most of my career, which is like a retired cop car, you know?
Yeah.
Those are, they're gas guzzlers, and they're really not as roomy as they should be. Like, not, it's just because the cab companies are cheap, and they could get them cheap, used, because the police forces would retire them early, you know? And sell them for cheap, and then the cab companies would pick them up and repaint them, put them out on the street. But it was nice to see a remnant of a distant, speaking of disappearing cultural artifacts, you know, taxis, after the apocalypse. But it helped those people survive, that car, you know?
The weirdest things, as we've noticed, help those people, like Valium, taxis, all right. Like, what else? Yeah.
They were so happy in that one scene where they broke into the supermarket in Manchester.
And that's everybody's favorite scene of post-apocalyptic.
Oh, yeah?
Like, whenever like they are like, oh, we could break into.
They have the shopping spree.
Yeah. It's all to themselves, yeah.
Well, talk about like one of those movie magic incongruities. I watched them fill up all their carts and stuff.
And somehow get it all in the car.
Right, yeah. And that's kind of like, they were kind of even winking, nodding at that because they skip it over that. You know, they have all the carts and then next they're driving off. They don't even show them trying to pack all that shit in there with four people inside of it, you know? Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you know, I will say, yeah, those cars are made, they're roomy and they have trunk space, you know, specifically for that job. So if you were going to have a car for the apocalypse, you could do a lot worse than a London taxi.
So yeah, that shopping scene, good. Yeah, I noticed that Cillian Murphy just kind of took the place of like any male that was in each of the women's lives. So he took the place of the father. He took the place of the other guy that was with Naomi.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, maybe I wasn't...
And he was like
I stopped paying attention.
The least qualified guy to do anything.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was a total fuck-up. There is a turn with him, though. Like, when after they try to go take him in the woods, you know, and kill him, and he escapes, he suddenly turns into, like, a superhero of survival.
Yeah,
and he starts being
why
really.
Why did he care so hardcore about survival? And then two, also, why did he suddenly have such a huge like? I need to protect these women. Like you don't know them.
And why do you suddenly like jump in and out of scenes? And you're like you become the Flash, you know? Because there's all these scenes, like when the one soldier is hunting him out there. He's just peering and like he just flashes in front of the camera and disappears. Like he's got superpowers.
For a guy that just woke up out of a hospital bed.
Yeah, who was just like a lowly bike messenger. He was like a nobody, you know?
Yeah. If this helps at all with that answer, there are apparently alternate endings. One of which is that the entire thing is a dream.
Yeah, because, well, there is, there's a thing where, towards the end, where he wakes up after being wounded, and it looks like he's in the hospital bed. But it turns out he's in their new home, like where they're building their little flags to their signs to attract the planes and stuff. Their new utopia, but that could have been like where him just having a dream. You know, they could have easily done that right at that point. You know,
and also they had another one where he actually did die. From being shot.
Oh, when they were escaping from the compound? In that case, what would the girls have survived or no? Or that
they, I'm not sure.
No.
I mean, I'm assuming they wouldn't kill everybody. Is Danny Boyle that mean?
I don't know. It is. Well, this, the final, the end of this movie is an absurdly hopeful ending. Like a weird, like suddenly they're running the fields and it's like the Sound of Music or something, you know?
Also, they look like they're having a damn time of their life at the
end.
Yeah,
they're having their nice new outfits and like they're happy, like gallivanting about in the fields, making their little hello sign for the planes.
I was really hoping for help, and then when I saw hello,
I think that was on purpose. That was a little like misdirection, just for you. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm trying to figure out because I haven't seen the sequel, but you know that there are like two other movies, right?
Yeah, that he didn't direct.
He didn't direct them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think he did. It was 28 Weeks, I think it is the follow-up.
And then I'm assuming that the next one is 28 years or months.
Yeah. 28 decades.
Hey, 28 years, it gets actually pretty close to when our pandemic happened, so...
Past that would be past. I mean, if
shooting well, it after, yeah.
If you're saying that
the one pandemic happened to have like zombies instead of just people dying.
Well, also, if you're assuming that the original took place in contemporary times in 2001 or whatever, you know.
Very true.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to muster like a real like. I don't have a strong opinion about this movie. It's fine. I can nitpick on stuff.
It wasn't complex or anything.
No,
it didn't have a lot of layers.
It's very watchable. It actually did connect. It did relate just because we had covered that movie, The Signal, before. There's some stuff that was similar, you know, of them just like the apocalypse running around with like. Rage creatures and stuff.
I think that's what made me think, like, okay, let's do another. Like,
maybe, yeah. I had to look up. It's like, which one was made first? It's like, and clearly,
and both British. So yeah.
No. The Signal is American.
Signal's American.
Signal is made in Atlanta.
Holy shit!
All of it's made in Atlanta. It does have a kind of a European feel to it, but it does. Like, yeah. And they also manage that same thing of like. Making the city seem abandoned, you know, but on a much lower budget. Yeah, I love that Signal movie. See, I have a strong opinion about the Signal. But
I think
like,
it's a tone with the Signal that made it seem more British for some reason.
Maybe. Yeah, it's not. But yeah, there's definitely thematic connections between the two. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Although, yeah, I guess in 28 Days, do they ever even... say about what caused the apocalypse?
In the beginning,
do they show that
there are animal rights activists.
Oh, right. Yeah. I forgot. Yeah, the monkeys. It's all the fault of like the PETA people, the animal rights terrorists. See, like Danny Boyle is blaming like the whatever.
I mean, come on. When all else fails, blame them.
Yeah, because they didn't listen to the like geeky scientist guy. Like, no, they're infected. I've totally forgot about that, about the monkeys.
Yeah, so it was the monkeys.
Also, what I did think in that scene, well, I was thinking in that scene before it was revealed that they're infected, is like, you fucking morons, you're going to set free an adult chimp? What do you think is going to happen to you? It's going to like eat your face off, even if it's not.
Yeah.
They're
it's
very,
not
very
see
aggressive.
You as like the hero.
No, it's gonna fucking, it's gonna tear you limb from limb. It doesn't have to be infected. They're chimpanzees. They're monsters.
By then, and in captivity, they're not gonna see you as a different.
Yeah.
Whereas they probably are like, I'm liberating you. That could be a good horror movie, actually.
It would become Grizzly Man. You know, this is people
that
making
movie is fucking hilarious.
Yeah, well, you know, hilarious slash sad, but yeah,
you want to feel bad for what happened, but then you're like, this is literally a guy who, like, yeah, and I'm not saying he fucked around and found out, but he fucked around and found out.
Right, and so in 28 Days Later, we're all made to pay, the whole world is made to pay for, like, these people's, like, strident opinions. Just kind of like, to loop it back to the beginning of this recording where we're talking about shit going on the platforms. And, you know, people and their political beliefs.
Yeah.
Like, don't be so sure about yourself, you know, in your political beliefs, because there's consequences, unintended consequences, not what you'd hoped.
I mean, you could be doing the noblest of causes and you can cause the zombie apocalypse, who knows?
Yeah, my policy on that shit is I don't march with anybody for anything. I was telling this to John last night. They could fucking organize a parade in downtown Chicago and the cause is like Dimitri is great or whatever, and I wouldn't go. You know, I wouldn't march for that cause, saying, you know, like they're saying that, you know, Dimitri is a genius of art and writing. And I would agree, but like,
I would say, is that your hope that people see you as a genius of art and writing?
They should.
Okay. Happy we cleared that one up. Okay.
Why not? Doesn't every artist think that?
I think we all hope it.
Yep. Well, yeah. I'm just using this as an example of me not being a joiner, you know, like an ultimate, exactly, to the X degree. Like like imagining the situation where like it's something you fully endorse, you know, or whatever it is, you know, like, you know, you can march for like St. Pizza's Delicious. I don't know, whatever.
All you've accomplished here is making me want pizza, but go on.
Right. See, good. It worked. But I still would stay home and not march. I wouldn't march. I wouldn't, you know, because that hive mind groupthink, I'm very, very weary of. And I, like this, yeah, the mind of the crowd is horrifying. It's all it starts putting in my mind is like Nazi rallies and those like Mao like demonstrations and Stalin and all of it. It's all the same. Even if it's, you know, down to, you know, more recently, like Black Lives Matter, you know, I did some stuff to support that, but I never once marched, you know,
mm-hmm,
or for abortion rights or for like all kinds of causes that I totally am on board with. You know what I mean? But I won't go out in the street and march.
What is it like if you support it? Why don't you want to go out in the street? I guess that's my question.
Because I hate that the energy of the crowd, like the energy of the crowd in the street.
Does it annoy you, or do you get anxious?
It's scared. No, it scares. It's horrifying.
Okay.
Because there's no gray areas. There's no subtlety. You can't think as an individual in that situation. You're this like giant machine. And I don't want to be part of that ever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a human, you know, I'm not interested in collective feeling at all, like of any kind. That's just me. You know, you do you, as they say, you know, I'm not condemning other people for it, but like, that's where like any kind of subtleties or like thoughtfulness is gone.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's where you get these people with strident messages of on one or another side of a conflict, you know. And people get hurt, and there's a lot of collateral damage. And I'm not interested in pumping myself up that way. People have, they do that if they want that feeling of that, like being a part of a bigger thing.
I think it'd be an adrenaline boost and everything. Yeah.
Not to me. It's just it's horrifying. That like being like one little like pod in a sea. I don't need to feel any smaller than I feel like on a daily basis, I guess, is the point.
So like if there's ever a zombie situation, mm-hmm. I should not let you go and just continue to be a zombie with the rest of the zombies. I should kill you right away.
Yes.
Got it.
You're authorized to do that.
Just want to like, you know, make sure that I had that.
Yes. I'll write that in the will. Mallory and nobody but Mallory, once the zombie apocalypse comes, is authorized to shoot Dimitri in the forehead.
Or whatever execution way that we've learned will kill the zombies by then.
Right. Yeah. You can shame them, ignore them, whatever works with the zombies.
Sometimes just like, what is it? In I Am Legend, I think they can't go out during the day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Or like you can't feed them after midnight or...
Like there are so many random ass things where it's like...
Yeah, they make shit up all the time.
But then again with I Am Legend, it's the same thing where it's like they're not technically zombies. They have a disease.
That's another one I haven't seen, so I didn't see that one.
I enjoyed a lot of aspects of that movie, but it crossed a line and a lot of movies cross this line with me. And I'm just like, fuckers, why did you have to do it? It's when they kill the animal. I hate when they kill the dog.
That's the one. That one stars Mr. Slap, right?
Yep. Slappy. That's
Slappy's the star of that one.
I would say it's one of his better movies.
Yeah. Slappy. Slappy's not much of a thespian. Slappy's rarely good in movies, but...
As someone who watched Bad Boys last night, I can attest to that, yeah.
As what?
I watched Bad Boys last night, and I was just like, why? He is the same guy in everything, isn't he?
Yeah, he's an asshole, like, kind of frat boy bully, like, in everything.
Yeah.
That's what he is. He's like the type A asshole, yeah. You should watch The Bad Boys with Sean Penn. That's a much better movie. So it's like a reform school, like kind of like Teen Rebellion movie. It's an early Sean Penn movie from the 80s. Look it up. It's really good.
What is it called?
Bad Boys. It's got nothing to do with that other Bad Boys.
I accidentally wrote in Baby Boys, and that's weird.
Oh, you got a thing for Sean Penn?
Like, what the hell? Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's really good. It's an early Sean Penn role, very early. There's some other people in it who are semi-well-known. 80-something. What year was it? 82? 83. 83? Okay, yeah.
Hey, it's on Tubi and Amazon. Yeah.
So there you go.
Obviously, yeah, it's available.
Yeah, check it out. It's a good one.
Last night, I was just watching whatever because I had a podcast I had to record.
Oh, yeah?
And I was also somehow included in the Smart Family group chat, even though I'm Sounds not attending exciting. Holidays. Oh, it was exciting are you to
skipping?
Read.
I was going to ask you, are you skipping... I was going to say Halloween. Thanksgiving.
Halloween, bitch. My Halloween stuff's still up.
Right, that's your Christmas, I know.
It stays up. I do think that like, Halloween I would have to tree. Take at least the bats down. I'll have to take the bats down.
Why?
Well, I guess I have to do a little sign softer for the holidays. And I eventually have to figure out what to do with my pumpkin. I am such an immature person. Every single time I see its rotting corpse on my balcony, I just be like, can I just throw it down?
But... Oh. Don't do that. Don't be an ass. Don't be that asshole.
I hate my building manager, and I just want them to, like, bam. But they would know it was me too easily.
So no Thanksgiving for you, huh?
And definitely not after last night. I learned that my sisters can really hate each other.
Oh, really?
Oh, there's a schism now. Uh-oh. I don't even there's know a, how that happened.
It's a new, new beef in the smart clan.
It was new my beefs. Sister suddenly pulling up, like, fights that happened, like, 20 years ago.
Oh, she's holding on to shit, huh?
And then, like, while I was in the middle of my podcast, I actually started getting phone calls from my mom and both my sisters. Yikes. And then just, like, a message of, Mallory, can you confirm whether this happened or not?
Oh.
And
it's like, you're being asked to take sides. Yeah.
Like, I don't know what the hell. Here's the fact of what happened. Don't include me anymore.
What podcast was it? It was for textual healing? Or
it was for textual healing, and I feel so bad because, I mean,
you have to interrupt them?
I was messaging while...
Oh, while you were... multitasking. Look at you.
And I know towards the end where I'm just like, this guy who I actually really love his work, Patrick Barb, he has to know at this point that I'm a little distracted and I feel terrible.
Well, at least if it was towards the end, maybe it was already kind of fading out, the conversation.
I'm hoping. I have to like re-listen to it because I'm worried that I might have abruptly ended it.
But where does the random watching movies fit into all this? That's what I wanted.
I was doing that to kill time between before doing the podcast.
Oh, I see. And you put on Bad Boys with Will Smith.
Yeah, that's what was on. I just was like, all right, gonna click the first thing that shows up. And I was like, I could zone out to that. Yeah.
That's what's on. Everything's on all the time now. Like, there's that's on. It's not like we're in the days of network television.
So
everything is on at your fingertips.
I've totally played roulette right here, where I basically just turned the TV on, randomly hit one of the streaming services, and then randomly hit one of the movies.
Man, you live life on the edge. I would never do that. I would never randomly hit anything. Just like I don't listen to the radio for music. I haven't in decades. I don't know
why anyone does that.
No, but people like that. People just like things coming on without their control, whatever. I never liked that. I didn't like that
I'm
as a kid.
With having playlists, I can't have.
I won't, like, you know, I use Apple Music, and I would never let it play. I choose albums, you know? I don't let, like, the algorithm choose anything for me ever, you know?
That's, like, the one thing I sometimes worry about when it comes to, like, say, doing road trips with other people.
What's that?
I have to have complete control over the radio.
Yeah.
Or else
I'm sure I just
get annoyed.
I'm sure Bullet lets you do that.
He lets me do that. And I've had a lot of friends who've let me do that. But
who else are you going to be? Yeah, you know, you put a ring on it, or he put a ring on it. So that's who you're going to do road trips with, right?
Sister-in-law on our way up to Wisconsin decided, hey, can I take the aux? And I was just half asleep anyway. So I was like, go off, have fun.
That was the final break. That's why you don't speak with her anymore, right? It was the aux abuse.
the giving me a weird crystal rock thingy.
Oh, yeah, the rock from the ground or whatever.
The blocking on the Instagram, all the weird spiritual shit. Like, yeah. And her music taste sucked.
Live, laugh, love, yeah.
It was like basically the theme, like, if there was a category of live, laugh, love or something on Spotify, that's what she was listening to.
I'm sure there's 5 million live, laugh, love channels, or playlists. That's a real thing. That's big, that's like half of America is live, laugh, love. We joke about it because we're snobs, but like that's no joke.
It is fun to be like doing a show with another asshole. This is fun.
I don't apologize for my opinions, even if they're ill considered sometimes. I also reserve the right to change opinion. I change opinions,
I definitely do. Yeah.
It's not set in stone. I rethink things. Like, yeah, in my memory, I thought I liked this movie 28 Days Later better than I liked it this time.
I'm going to go with you there, yeah.
Like, I had a better, whatever trace memory I had of it, I thought it was like a good movie. And I'm not saying it's a bad movie. It's just like, it just kind of sits there.
I would say it's like, I had to refresh it last night when you were like, thanks for the reminder to watch. And I was like, yeah. Shit, I watched it a week ago. Like,
oh, you had to watch it again?
No, I just looked it up on Wikipedia.
Oh, you, oh, you didn't? Yeah. Yeah, see, I can't, like, you know, it's been established many times. I watch too many things. I have to watch the movie we're talking about as close to the recording as possible because otherwise it'll just get washed away, you know?
I'll say if we did it that way, then the only things I'd be really able to talk to you about right now would be Bad Boys or Hunger Games.
That would be Well, you watched a Hunger Games movie?
Oh, I saw the new Hunger Games movie twice this week.
Oh, Jesus. So I guess you liked it, huh?
Oh, yeah. I love wow. Hunger Games.
Wow. I think I saw one of them and thought, like, I didn't think much of it one way or the other. Wasn't Philip Seymour Hoffman in, like, one of them?
He was in the last three.
Oh, really?
But wow. I want to say with, like, the last one, like, he had already died. So I think they're just using like residual footage.
So he's in the first three or
last three.
How many are there?
There are
17
or four of the original Hunger Games. The one I just watched is a prequel.
Oh, I see.
It was really
good. They're going off full on Star Wars prequels and shit.
I actually left the theater yesterday after watching Hunger Games. And I was kind of shit-talking with Brent about, like, some of the younger people that had, like, gotten really into it and everything. And I was like, Jesus Christ, I turned into, like, what the original Star Wars fans were to us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because I was just like, can you believe these idiots? They don't even really know the series. They have no stake in it. Oh. Like, I was having that whole vibe.
You became that asshole.
It's like, yeah.
Well, it's inevitable.
No understanding of, like, the story structure or the character backgrounds and everything. And I just want to be like,
you weren't even there.
I really had that. It was in me. And I knew it. I was just like, oh, please don't let me be that.
At least, well, you recognize this, so you couldn't really fully inhabit that. Because the people that go full on like that become comic book guy or whatever. It's like they're not self-aware, you know what I mean? Exactly. you became comic book guy.
For like a microsecond there.
Worst episode ever. Worst prequel ever. But you clearly liked it since you saw it more than once. Wow. I didn't know I didn't know this about you in the Hunger Games. I think I saw one, and I thought it was just it was fine.
I mean, it wasn't didn't really grab made me, for you.
No, it is not made for me.
I mean, when you have to actually look at like the years, it's the same thing like with Harry Potter. Yeah. I mean, one, you have to be a really big nerd if you're your age and you're into Harry Potter.
Well, I mean, Harry Potter was pretty ubiquitous, but also not from, I was a grown-up when Harry Potter came out, you know? Like,
whereas Hunger Games, that was like...
When did that start? When did Hunger Games start? Same time as Harry 20. Potter? Oh, you were 20 when it...
And that would be around the time that all the actors, like, I am the exact same age as Jennifer Lawrence, like...
Right, she's in that. I always forget she's in that.
She's the star.
I know, but like to me, she's the star of Winter's Bone. That's how I know Jennifer Lawrence, you know?
I recently just watched the new movie that she was in, No Hard Feelings. Have you seen that?
No.
It was a weird one.
I saw the preview for it and I was like, oh, I cannot watch that. That looks horrible.
It was like a car crash. Some of the
cringe comedy, right?
Yeah.
I didn't like the set. Like, there's nothing about that appealed to me. Like, I'll wait for her to appear in the next David O. Russell movie or whatever. Something good, you know, that interests me. I think she's a great actress. I think she's terrific, but, like, I don't need, yeah. These actors make some weird-ass choices sometimes, you know?
She was saying... Like, I remember reading an interview why she did this movie is that she wanted to actually show that she could be funny.
Yeah. Which is weird because
she herself wasn't funny.
Actually. Yeah. She's funny in the David Russell movies. in several of them.
I would say they definitely have a good teamwork situation going there.
Especially American Hustle as the white. She's so funny in that, to me.
I still need to see that one.
You haven't seen American Hustle? Mm-mm. Oh, watch. It's got the best comb over ever. Christian Bale has it. It stars a comb over. The star of American Hustle is a comb over.
I guess I'll add that to stuff I have to watch by this weekend.
Definitely. Yeah. For Thanksgiving, your homework assignment is American Hustle. But speaking of
that, I was going to be Napoleon. So yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, no, that's a good. That's a fun. So where are you guys going to see it? Like out by you somewhere? Or?
AMC Woodfield. As I said, we got the whole month pass, which is fun.
Oh right, right. I guess I got to come up with a pick.
Yeah, you got to do a horror movie. Give me some more homework, Dimitri.
Yeah, so, I mean, we've been dancing around this one for a while. So are you up to finally conquering your fears and watching Child's Play?
Yes, I am, because I don't know what situation I was in yesterday where someone would not stop talking about Chucky.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm sure you've been shamed multiple times in your life. I think you've mentioned it about this whole Child's Play thing. I think they're about.
I remember.
Is there a TV show?
It was the podcast I was on yesterday. That person loved Chucky.
Yeah, also, you know, Chicago set movie, another Chicago set movie.
Okay, so Child's Play.
Child's Play 1, yeah, the original. Are they putting out another one, or is there a TV show or something? There's a TV show.
Yeah, there's a TV show. Also, I saw that in the previews I was seeing that there actually is a very similar concept of it. Coming out, but it's not Child's Play. It's called like Imaginary. It seems like it's the same story.
Well, Child's Play is not the original. Like the creepy doll thing's been around forever, but
yeah,
it's a good. I'll be really curious to revisit it because it's been a million years since I've seen. I've seen Child's Play more than once, but not in a long time. What year did? Let's look up. When did Child's Play come out?
And Will Mallory 80s, be terrified?
90s. 90s, right?
It's got to be the 90s.
Yeah, I think it's 90s. But you've avoided it because you're afraid of dolls, right? Or something. Yeah.
There are no dolls.
88.
Nice.
Yeah, so it was still 80s. Okay.
So we're watching the first one.
Yeah, Child's Play from 1988 with the voice of Brad Dourif as Chucky, which is awesome. Brad Dourif is a genius of acting.
Okay.
Yep. 1988, directed by Tom Holland. Yeah. There's many, many sequels. The one I remember is Bride of Chucky with what's her name? Is the voice of that? Is it Meg Tilly or Jennifer Tilly? One of those is the voice of the Bride of Chucky.
Jennifer Tilly.
They're sisters, yeah. It's the two.
Well, this would be a good break from all the Amityville horror movies I've been watching, so yeah.
Why are you watching those?
I was just so into it. I was like, I'm going to keep going.
And is this another Scout DeFoya type thing?
Caleb Bethay was telling me about Amityville Horror 3D. And I was like, this is just stupid enough to get me in.
Wow.
And it apparently starred a young Meg Ryan.
Well, yeah, these actors have to start somewhere. Speaking of like one of the saddest things I've seen in a long time is the new Meg Ryan movie that she directed, the romantic with David Duchovny.
She directed that?
Yeah.
That's on my list of stuff to see. Are you going to ruin it?
I'm not going to say any more about it. You watch it and judge for yourself.
Because I used to really love Meg Ryan.
Meg Ryan's great. But yeah, it's...
Ooh, tie-in. Her son was in the first Hunger Games movie. Bam.
Who's her son?
He's also in the Scream movie that you watch. Scream 6.
Is he part of the cast that resigned because of the war in Gaza?
He died in Scream 6. He's killer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't even know Meg Ryan's kid was an actor. Is Meg Ryan married or like what's?
It's her son with level. Dennis Quaid.
Oh.
Jack Quaid. I knew his name. Yeah.
Jack Quaid. Oh, okay. No, I missed that. Huh.
Tie-in with Meg Ryan and horror movies.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of, you know, like Johnny Depp being in the Nightmare on Elm Street.
Mm-hmm.
Was he in the sequel or?
He's in the first one.
Yeah, he's in the first one, yeah. Yeah, you know, you got to start somewhere. Cool. Did we cover it all? Did we miss anything?
I think we've got everything else covered. I don't know. Am I going to be seeing you next before we do the next recording? Or
what is...
when is that reading?
Is it the 9th, 10th? What date is today? Today is the 22nd.
It's the 8th. So we'll probably record before.
Yeah, we're recording before that. Because we usually record early or middle of the week, and that reading's on a Friday, right?
Yeah.
I think we're probably recording that week. Is that right? Yeah, we're recording that if we are on a two-week schedule. I mean, we can record earlier, too, but... you know, you can bank an episode or two if you want to be ahead of time, but we'll figure it out.
Yes, we shall.
Sounds good.
All right. I'll let you know how I like Napoleon.
Oh, yeah. Let me know for sure. Yeah. And, you know, make sure and pack your Thanksgiving meal to the movie theater. Eat some turkey while you're watching Napoleon.
Dude, it's going to be popcorn and Raisinets all the way.
There you go. Enjoy.